around the world, and thank you for joining us once again on truth2u.org. That's truth number two, letter U.org. I'm Jonathan. Joining me in the virtual Truth to You studio all the way from Ireland is Jason of spiritualbabies.net. G'day, mate.
Good morning. Happy 2015.
How was Scotland, by the way?
Scotland was fantastic. It was cold. It's full of food that you shouldn't eat. Chips and pies. They all come with gravy and loads of whiskey, and it was good.
Is that the national food of Scotland, is chips and pies? I thought it was haggis.
Well, you know, you can get haggis, but it's not widely available. If you were going to get a national food of Scotland, it would probably be the deep fried Mars bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can get that from almost all. You know, you get fish and chip shops. I don't know about Australia, but in the UK, fish and chip shops are like the takeaway that's on the corner of everywhere. And in Scotland, most of them do deep-fried Mars bars.
Oh, why would you want to deep-fry a Mars bar? Why would you want to eat a Mars bar in the first place? That's my position. But why would you want to deep-fry it first?
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Nah, not going to try it ever in my life. I can tell you that right now. I don't even want to know if you've tried it. We're moving on. All right. Now, another thing we haven't addressed on the program. This is not a spiritual baby speed study or anything like this. This is another one of those rambling chats. You know, the last time we did this, it was about 6 months ago.
Oh, that's crazy, yeah.
But that was one of the most popular programs we've ever done.
Which just goes to show that people will listen to anything on the internet.
We just made it up on the spot.
Yeah.
And it made it into we're doing the top 60 at the moment. We're working our way down through the top 60 programs of 2014. And I think that one will come in at about number 13.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, wow. I'm going to enjoy looking at the people I've beaten.
That was entitled Accept Truth from Whatever Source It Comes. And it'll make its way onto the top 60. People can look out for that. And there was a whole lot of comments on there. People said, you guys are great. Love to hear some more rambling chats. Well, it only took us 6 months to get around to it. But it doesn't change the fact that Mr. Squeaky's still going bloop. And we did address that last time in our rambling chat.
Well, there's a bit of an issue now because Mr. Squeaky has reached the stage where it's being naturalized by the Irish government. So it has its own passport, and now it's got its own vote. It's going to be very difficult to eradicate Mr. Squeaky at this stage. I'll have to come up with some sort of plan involving a carpet and a fake body and a car crash. but until that stage, Mr. Squeaky's here for a little while longer.
He's still there, so that's good. If you don't have any idea what we are talking about, dear listener, if you've just tuned in, you've never really listened to Truth to You before, you need to go back and listen to Accept Truth from Whatever Source It Comes. You can put it in the search engine on truth2u.org. You'll get it there. Now, something that we haven't addressed is the name Spiritual Babies. Every now and then, someone says, what's with Spiritual Babies? Where'd you get that name from? Why? What are you having a go at us? You want to pick a fight? Is that what you want? You want to go into the car park? Is that what? Get a bit of that every now and then, don't you?
I get that more often than not. Actually, the three things generally happen. I'll get the, why did you call yourself Spiritual Babies? That's a stupid name. No one's going to take you seriously. Right. I get the, why did you call yourself Spiritual Babies? Actually, I know why you called yourself Spiritual Babies. I'm not surprised nothing you publish is worth reading. And I get very rarely, we're all Spiritual Babies. That's the third option.
Is it really? They're the top three that you get.
Mm. So it's the incredulous, the agreement of you are a Spiritual Baby and you shouldn't be on the internet. That one, sadly, is probably the most popular one.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Has anybody ever come to you and said, are you a Mormon?
No, they haven't, I have to say.
You're kidding me!
No.
All right, I want to know, anyone out there, when you first heard Spiritual Babies, did you think Mormon? Now, are you aware of the Mormon theology as far as spiritual?
Only a tiny bit, but not in reference to the name.
We should do a crash course right now.
Go for it.
It's all about spiritual babies. I can't believe that. So you have no Mormon background. Let's just get that straight.
I spent, I went up a mountain, but that's as close as I ever got to anything to do with Mormons.
All right, so this is the way it works, and I'm not an expert, so any Mormons who are listening, don't be too offended.
And stay tuned.
I'm just saying, please leave a comment. If you're a Mormon and you're listening to the program, leave a comment, and if I say something that's wrong, please put me straight. But this is, I think, in a nutshell, this is the way it works. Mormons believe that our Heavenly Father produced spiritual babies, of which we are one. And I think it works like this. I've got a little graph in front of me, and this is from the Mormon handbook. And it says, premortal life, physical Heavenly Father and physical Heavenly mothers, plural, birth, spirit offspring. Okay. Mm. Now, the spirit offspring who follow the firstborn, that's Jesus Christ, obtain a physical body and experience mortality on earth. In other words, they get to be born on earth, right? So the spirit baby goes into the physical baby and out of pops, and there it is. Now, those who follow the second born, which is Lucifer, because Lucifer and Jesus are brothers in the Mormon religion.
Wow.
Are expelled to outer darkness. Poor little spiritual babies. That's a bit slack, don't you reckon?
Mm.
Into outer darkness, and will never obtain a physical body. At Judgment Day, these go straight to perdition.
And what's the point of having a Judgment Day?
Oh, and hang on.
Okay, it
goes on. Now, here's little spiritual babies on Earth that get to be born into physical bodies. Upon death, non-Mormons of these physical bodies that had a spiritual baby, non-Mormons go to spiritual prison to await Judgment Day. But while they're in prison, they can accept Mormonism and transfer to paradise. Woo! There you go. It's not bad.
Do saved dead Mormons go to all the prison rooms and leave a Mormon Bible in the drawer of the...
No. What they do, I think, is they can baptize for the dead. And that's mentioned in the Book of Acts, I think.
Ouch.
They actually baptize for the dead. This is why they've got such an intricately detailed genealogical records. I mean, they're known for it. They're renowned for it. And so they can help non-Mormons get out of spirit prison and go to paradise by baptizing them after they've died.
Ouch. So do they go to grave sites and, you know, do the ice cream?
I don't know if they're in the habit of digging them up and actually giving them a bit of a wash. I think there's, I don't know how it's done. If you're a Mormon, please let us know. Or if you're an ex-Mormon, love to know about that. Mm. But if, when your spiritual baby comes into contact with your physical baby and then out it comes, if upon earth you become obedient to Mormonism, you become a good Mormon, when you die, you await Judgment Day in paradise. There you go. Yay! Peace and happiness. And then, so, it says here, eternal destinations are determined based on obedience. The celestial is reserved for faithful Mormons married in LD, I almost said LSD temples, but it's not. It's LDS, Latter-day Saints temples. The terrestrial is reserved for good people, including Mormons who did not live up to expectations. The terrestrials, so there's like three heavens. There's the celestial, where Joseph Smith sort of stands at the door and says, yeah, you're approved, and no, you're not, you'd have to go to the terrestrial. And there's sort of like these three heavens, and then there's perdition. But the Mormons that get to that get the Joseph Smith approval, these, if they're married Mormons, they become gods and start the process all over again on their own planet as heavenly fathers and mothers to their own spiritual babies. And so what happens is so when you die, if you're a good Mormon and Joseph Smith gives you the thumbs up into celestial heaven, then you can go there and say, I'll have that planet over there. Thank you very much. There you go. You get assigned a whole lot of wives and get busy, and those wives are eternally impregnated and are pregnant and giving birth to spiritual babies. There you go.
All right, so I want to sign up for that right now. And
I don't reckon Mrs. Spiritual Babies would be up for that.
No, I don't think so.
I reckon it's a pretty raw deal for the Mrs. Mormon.
I understand how atheists can look at some areas of our Bible and say, what? But This is actually insane to me.
How does anybody take this stuff seriously? I don't know. I guess that I don't know. I mean, they've got a whole. I mean, Utah, right? I mean, I've never been there, but look, I don't know. But you know what? Even in the country town of Cara, there is a Mormon church. They're around.
I can see how it's appealing, and like most ultra appealing religions, it's full of intricacies. The best sci-fi worlds and the best sci-fi novels are the longest ones, which build a really deep and rich mythology that the reader can live in and engage in. And it feels that Mormonism offers you that. It offers you blissful confusion to the point that you don't really have to worry about what's going on.
That's a good way to put it, blissful confusion. And it does offer a little bit of a science fiction twist. Mm. Yeah.
You could kneel before Zorg. You could be Zorg.
Anyway, so obviously you're the reason why you have spiritualbabies.net is not because you first started out as a Mormon and transitioned to where you are and traveled to where you are, journeyed to where you are now. That is not the reason. However, I thought it was a good opportunity to have a bit of a giggle at the Mormons. Mm. Now, so, that reminds me, yep. Speaking of a giggle at the Mormons, it was Tobias Singer who first told me the joke. He said, why did God make Mormons? So the Jews... No, I've told it wrong. Do you know the joke?
I do. I just want to hear you try and tell it again.
I can't tell jokes.
Why did the chicken cross the... Oh, no, I got hit by a car. That's the extent of my joke coming.
A Christian, a Jew, and a Mormon walk into a bar.
The Christian says, ouch. The Mormon says, I own this bar. And the Jew says, oi. Oh, never mind. I think the way it goes is, why did God invent Mormons so Christians would know what Jews feel like?
So that Christians would know how Jews feel.
Yeah,
and the reasoning behind that, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
Because to a Christian, Mormonism is completely made up and far-fetched. And has no physical entity or background or proof in the Christian Bible. And to a Jew, Christianity is the same. It's completely fabricated and made up, and there's no physical evidence of it in the Hebrew Bible.
In other words, Joseph Smith has added a whole lot of stuff on the ends of the New Testament and said, this is what the truth is. It was revealed to me, and now I've given it to you.
Mm.
And the Christians go, no, that's terrible. Don't be ridiculous. It ends here. Ah.
Unless you have a dream, or you fall off a horse, or any other number of things, and have some sort of personal revelation that you want to go and write down and then share with people that will listen.
There it is.
It's exactly the same.
So tell me, spiritual babies, why?
Yeah, we do have to approach that because I don't want to be... I've spent a lot of time clicking on links to questions where that's never answered, so I guess we have to. All right, so originally I was a Christian, and when I moved into... The move from Christian into kind of the messianic thing was quite short. I started to read through the beginning of the Bible and thought, you know, this Shabbat thing is probably something we should look at. And I noticed that there weren't any other touch points in Ireland or even in the UK of people who were doing this that I could speak to. And so I figured, well, if I'm on my own trying to figure this out, there must be other people on their own trying to figure this out. So I'll create a website and I'll put up what I'm learning, and it will give other people a point of reference so they can kind of get in touch with. So, you know, someone else in the middle of Ireland can type in Ireland Messianic. And they'll find the website, and then if someone else comes along later, they can get in touch. That was the kind of thing. It was meant to be a central hub. And the reason we picked Spiritual Babies, and actually Mrs. Spiritual Babies picked Spiritual Babies, was because we were spiritual babies. And we were just like toddlers and, you know, pre-toddlers. And we didn't know what we were doing, really, and we couldn't walk on our own. We were relying on other people to be fed. And we were relying on other people to point us in the right direction. And kind of looking at it now from this perspective, we were accepting what we were given by those adults. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, I'm still there. And people have asked me, why don't you change your name now? You know, now you've got kind of an audience. which I don't really want an audience. I'm happy to have lots of friends that share information, but an audience kind of denotes a certain amount of leader, and I don't like that at all. But I said, why don't you change Spiritual Babies and people will take it more seriously? But again, although I want the message to be taken seriously, I'm not really interested in being taken seriously, as my opinion doesn't count. Toby says it all the time, and he's absolutely right. Our opinions don't count. So I'm still, every day I'm still reading and learning. I'm not in any way ready to get up and walk. So yeah, there's a ton of reasons, but when we started off, it was because we felt wholly immature, not in our faith, but in our understanding of how we were to express that faith.
How long ago was that when you first kicked off on this journey?
Oh, well, I think having a look and taking what we call the Old Testament more seriously, it's maybe 4 years now. There's a couple of, I generally feel I communicate best through kind of pictures and stories. So there's a couple of things. First of all, when I was, you can still do it, but it's not so popular now because of the internet. But growing up, you'd often get these magazines which would be full of all these recipes, and the recipes would pop out into cards, and you'd be able to fill up these little trays with recipe cards. So in the 70s, lots of mums had these in their kitchen, this little plastic.
My mum had one of those.
Right.
And where did it go?
I know.
I want that.
She'd be like, I want to make an omelette. And then she'd go
through
the section and there'd be omelettes, right? So she'd be like, right. So when I started off, I had the box. I understood there was a box, but I didn't have any of the recipes. And I would say
that. Where did it go? Is it in a box somewhere?
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it's just covered in dust. Because now you've got the internet and people are not interested. You can just look it up.
No, I'll use it.
So 4 years later, my box has a few recipes in it. And the ones I use an awful lot, I'm starting to learn off by heart. But the rest, I still have to go and look at. But I know the answers are there, and I can go and look those up. But there's still an awful lot of the box which is empty. But when I started off, none of that box was full. I have to say that that 4 years was a process that I couldn't possibly tell anyone else how to deal with. Mm. You just kind of have to knuckle down and keep reading the text. I know a lot of people separate God from the Tanakh. You know, my relationship with God is really strong and I talk to him every day. And that's awesome. It's really awesome. But if you're not reading the text, you're separating what you think God is to who God is telling you it is in the text. And so if you are confused, just keep looking at the text and reading it, and don't read into it. Don't make it say what you want it to say. Just keep, and then 4 years later, you know, you'll be more confident of what that text says, and you'll be more confident of what the character of God is.
Actually, it reminds me of what you were just showing me before on a website, a link that Linda sent to you. Can you just tell us about that?
Yeah, while we were on our holidays, we got this lovely email from our friend Linda Sprague, and she sent me a post off a website which showed several large cities around the world that had a tragic, massive power outage. So terrible for the people living there, but really awesome for photographers because it gave them a chance to record the night sky if there was no ambient light at all. And what it revealed was everything in creation, all the stars and the planets and the moons and the Milky Way galaxies. Yeah, and it's just awesome. And she sent it to me because when we were visiting her, that's the view from her porch. There's no major light source in hundreds of miles.
And you told me that story though, because she said to you, what did she say to you?
So she asked if I'd been outside, and I had been outside, but not at nighttime. And so she said, you haven't seen what's outside, so go and have a look. So we went outside, and it was about 11 o'clock, and I looked up at the sky, and it looked just like a regular sky because my eyes hadn't focused yet. But once they had focused and they got used to the dark, I realized that there was a billion stars and they were every different color. And I got quite weepy. And the more I looked...
And overwhelmed.
And very overwhelmed. The more I looked, the more I couldn't focus on any particular star because there were so many. And you're right. That's a great picture of how you start off.
Because the more that you learn and the more you grasp hold of and the further you go down this journey of reading the Tanakh and understanding and studying it, it's a process, is it not, of your eyes adjusting. And as your eyes continue to adjust as you've just walked outside, you see more and more of the never-ending glory that is there for you to behold that you cannot possibly take all in, so much so that your mouth is stopped, you're overwhelmed, you're emotionally blown away at just how much there is to learn and how incredibly grand it is and how small we are and how much we don't understand.
And that can be terrifying because you ask yourself, why am I even trying? Well, what is the point of trying to do this when there's so much and I'm clearly unable, I don't have the tools, this isn't anything I can achieve. Mm. But if you are out on the balcony and you're looking, then that's the start of it, you know. And the longer I was there, the more I did see how clearly defined the Milky Way was, the more I did see that some of the stars were kind of twinkling red and some of them were twinkling purple. You might not take it all on board in one go. And you might never even grasp, you know, a half inch of what you can see. But the point is that you're doing it. And I think that's the scariest and the best thing about it. I mean,
it's the first step to mapping the sky, right? It's the first step to mapping the night sky, going out there, waiting for your eyes to adjust, and then beholding and becoming familiar with the great unknown, so to speak.
And it's a glorious thing too when you do realize that what you thought you knew so someone said to me before I'd done that, you know, how many stars can you see with a naked eye? I'd say, you know, one on a night, maybe 1,000, because I didn't know any better. And I only saw the big ones. You know, I just saw Sagittarius and the North Star, and you'd see a few of the constellations and Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. And that was it. That was the extent of what I understood the night sky to be. But then when you approach it without any other light sources, without any other things that are distracting you, and you see everything, then suddenly you realize that, A, what you originally knew, the big themes, if we're going to make pictures, then like the Ten Commandments are there, but there's also 100 billion smaller things which you just don't know and don't understand, which you can now sit down and engage with. And the thing to remember is that if you die at 120 and you dedicate your whole life to it, you're still not going to know every name of every star.
Mm.
But putting that down as an agenda of something that you want to do, that you want to understand, I think that's the main, the most important thing. You know, no child is ever going to learn how to fly, but the will to fly makes you get up and walk and run.
I mean, I know what it's like. I mean, here in country New South Wales, we walk outside and the stars are incredible. And if you, like you said, if you stand there and just behold it for a time and you realize just how incredibly small we are and minuscule compared to the greatness that of massive, incredible vastness that we can learn, that kind of experience is, as you say, it can be scary. It's very humbling. And I don't think I will ever be anything more than a spiritual baby in that sense.
I think I'll always be a spiritual baby. And I hope I'll always be a spiritual baby. It'd be terrible to be in a position where you think, I know better. I mean, I learn the most from people who ask questions. It's just funny because it gives you a pause to go and think and figure those questions out. And so when that stops, when you are suddenly the person that has all the answers, I think it's probably time to stop doing what you're doing and take up pipe smoking or something, because what's the point?
Right. All right. So there it is, dear listeners. There it is, the answer as to why the name Spiritual Babies. Mr. Spiritual Babies, thank you for coming back on to Truth to You. And don't forget, dear listeners, it is spiritualbabies.net. Get on it and check it out and have a look at what's going on and what Jason's been doing lately. And, well, by the way, we are going on tour, aren't we, my friend? We're going on tour to Israel in November 15. And, dear listeners, there are still seats on the bus. You can still join us this November, and we'd love to see you there.
Oh, what's really great is that now I'm switching on Facebook and I see people who I know who are going on the tour.
Who are going on the tour?
Yeah, and last year it was like, oh, the tour's not till next year, but now it's this year. Now it's like
this year.
10 months away.
Don't leave it too long because the bus is filling up.
Sign up.
All right, go to truthtoyou.org. You can find the details there. Click on, you'll see Israel Tour. Just click on that. It'll give you the details. We would love to see you there this coming November. Until then, dear listeners, because it'll probably be that long before we get to do another one of these. Be blessed. and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.